Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. Very pleased to have with us today Dr. Britt Blackwell, who is a member of the York County Council and came in at the last minute to help us out when our guest for the day, our scheduled guest today, Jack Christine from the Charlotte Douglas Airport, just got beaten up by the weather. And when you look out the window, you can see what he's talking about.
I'm glad to be here. I had no trouble floating in.
So, Doc, there's a lot of things going on with York County Council, but I want to take 30 seconds or so and get you to tell everybody a little bit of background about all the things you've been involved with in York County, from your days on the school board, your days on the council, for those who are new to our community and haven't met you.
I started out on the school board in 94, and I was kind of a Reagan conservative, strong on discipline and accountability. After 8 years of the school board, my wife informed me that I would not run for re-election. And then I served on the State Board of Education, so state office for 4 years. And that was 2007 to January 2011. In January 2011, I started on the county council, which I was fortunate enough to be chairman from the start, and served on county council ever since.
My gosh.
And chairman up until this past year.
Well, let's go ahead and straighten out one thing. This is an election year, and you're on the bubble this year along with, was it three or four other council members?
There's four of us, I think.
So are you going to run again?
I'm not on the bubble. I'm running again. So much going on right now within the county. It would not be proper for me to walk away at this moment. So I'm going to go one more term.
One more term.
One more term.
And then we'll see where we are.
And then there you go. Thank you, sir. Never say never.
Never say never.
Never make yourself a lame duck.
One of the things that I know you all are dealing with right now is hiring yourself a new county manager. Where are you in the process for all that?
This coming Tuesday, we're going to let the three candidates, and don't ask me their names right now.
Okay, I won't.
And they will start at 5 o'clock, a meet and greet with the community. And I'm going to try to get there about 5 just to watch and see how they interact. And they may say a few words after that, and then we'll meet as a council and possibly go ahead and pick the final person.
Have you all had an opportunity to do one-on-ones with all these
people? Oh, yeah. We did that about 2 weeks ago. Interviewed each candidate for about an hour and a half.
All right. And I would imagine you've had some professional help trying to build a pool.
The consultant, the headhunter, whatever we want to call her, is working on that. She provided the candidates, reviewed them. We've narrowed it down to the finalists. We interviewed the finalists, six of them. And we've narrowed that down to three that we're going to have the community talk to Tuesday. And she's, in fact, doing a kind of background checks on them again on the final three. And we're going to meet next Tuesday and see what we can iron out.
I would think with the county growing as rapidly as it is growing that you would need as one of the qualifications for a new county manager somebody who is going to, how would I say this politely, challenge you all as elected officials to say, no, we shouldn't do it that way like we've been doing it forever and ever. We need to do it like this way.
Yeah, we don't need somebody to come in and just kind of passively let it ride the same boat. We need to have somebody really come in, take charge, somebody in a very big, thriving county. That kind of experience would be beneficial. In fact, one of the candidates had served like 7 years as county manager of Horry County. So we're looking to, and of course we have David Huspeth, a great guy that we all know on the county council, and then a lady from Fayetteville area, which is one of the top five counties in North Carolina. So we need somebody to come in, take charge, be able to tell a council member when they're out of line or thinking incorrectly. Always not try to appease council, but come up and recommend what they think's best to do. We as a council can disagree, that's fine. But we want somebody to come in and say, this is what I think is the best thing to do.
So during the interviews with these candidates, has there been a line of questioning that would be along the lines of, what do you think we're doing wrong here in York County?
I don't think we're that bold when we sat down and talked to them, but I don't think we wanted our feelings hurt at all. But I was impressed by several of the candidates because they seemed, in fact, one candidate, we started taking notes about things he recommended we do.
Well, they've done the homework. In other words,
obviously, yeah, they have.
Obviously. But this is an important position. I mean, the county is a big, big, big business now.
Yeah, we're policy makers as a council.
Sean
and
Hannity,
manage the money.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on WRHI.
But, the most important navigator of the whole county is the county manager. So we want to make sure we have a guy that can really take charge and get us to the highest level possible. York County is a great county with a lot of great things happening. We have the good fortune of the Panthers being willing to come here when they could go anywhere. And Tepper wants to not just have a practice field. He wants to build a business park.
Sure.
And have a lot of corporate headquarters, things like that. So we have a lot of good fortune, and hopefully the next county manager can really lead us to the highest level of any county.
All right, so it may be that this decision will be made next week, possibly.
Well, of course, none of us know if we will or won't, but that's the plan. So okay. Depending on how the discussion goes, that's a possibility.
All right. If you'd like me to
50-50
interview, if you'd like me to interview all three of them publicly before you do them, no, just teasing.
Well, you can just make sure you're there at 5, and I'll just sit there and watch.
I'll set up my table and microphone, and we'll go away.
Well, there you go. Yeah. That wouldn't be a bad thought, actually. See how they respond.
See how they respond. What the heck? All right, you've got several interesting issues before the council right now. We'll take an easier one, which is the request by the city of Rock Hill to increase the remove the cap from the special taxing districts downtown.
Just merge two into one.
Move the two districts into one.
Which is logical.
Which is logical. And yet this has taken an awful long time to digest.
Well, the problem we had as a council, they worked with the school system, I think, for 9 or 10 months before it was dumped in, or before they came to us, I think in November, and said, we got to know now. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute now. You got to give us time to do due diligence. So I think our finance guy, Kevin Madden, has come up with a great plan. I mean, they've proven the growth factor for Knowledge Park area. And
right.
It's working out great, and it's getting ready to explode. So I would hope all council members are 100% in on that. But as stewards of the taxpayers' money, we have to make sure that there's a safety net and the liquidity of the city's solid. So we're looking at something like they just have to pay their debt service every June or so and just have maybe 1% over that. So we know they're in the black. We started out at like 10%, but we've loosened our strings a little bit just to have the bare minimum of protection to make sure the taxpayer is protected. I mean, just like the county, our unrestricted reserve is still over $35 million. I mean, it's like 30-35% of the budget. So you can easily do it. I mean, it's real easy to do. But we're not asking for that, but we just want to make sure things are in the black.
So you just want a cushion is what you want.
We want a safety net.
Safety net, cushion, call it what you want. But there are different philosophies in terms, as I see it from the outside looking in, mm-hmm. on how the county operates and how the city operates.
Of course.
I mean, and
the city's got the infrastructure. I mean, they have the utilities, right. And water, sewer.
Yeah. And with all that being said, nobody ever anticipated, I know nobody anticipated, that we would have $500 million of construction underway at one time in the downtown Rock Hill area. If you said that 10 years ago, they would have said you're crazy.
Well, I appreciate what Skip Tuttle and John Geddes has as the leader of the city what they're doing, because it's providing some great opportunities. I went and walked through the Rock Hill Sports Center. What's the
Indoor Sports and Events Center.
Okay, there you go. I've never seen anything like that, even in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be a home run for Rock Hill. And I think hopefully all the council members see the logic of it and are on board. We just want to make sure there's just a little bit of a safety net there where the taxpayers protected.
You realize that the first report from the city's Parks, Recreation, and Tourism Department said that during the first, I want to say two or maybe it was three weekends of activity down there, 13,000 people.
Oh, yeah.
That come through that place.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not been that long since your kids, my kids, where you were the parent dropping them off or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just one day there when I went by, it's just constant cars going by dropping their kids off.
The one time that I went, I got the last parking space in the 800-car deck right adjacent to the center. The last one.
Yeah, that's what, I mean, the chamber events tonight, and I'm sitting there, I've been thinking all morning, where am I going to park? Especially with the weather the way it is. I might have to get there early and get under that deck.
And then take a long walk over to where it's going to be.
I don't mind the walk as long as it's dry.
All right, so you anticipate this being on the agenda and cleaned up when?
Certainly, if it's not on the agenda for the, I'm sorry, we're talking about TIF.
TIF.
Got off track.
Yep.
I don't want to misspeak, but my hunch is it'll be on the next agenda.
Okay.
If not then, certainly by the next one after that,
okay.
For goodness sakes.
And I would say, obviously, you've worked this out with the city, so you wouldn't put it on the agenda.
I think they're actively still discussing things.
Okay.
I think we've come real close to a final agreement, but I think Kevin Madden is still going back and forth with them a little bit.
Okay. Let me switch to one other item, and I've been talking about this recently with elected members of the council and at the state level as well. With the county growing as rapidly as it's growing, do we need another system of representation in the county? I mean, right now we've got seven little fiefdoms.
Yeah.
We've carved up the county. But there doesn't seem to be any at-large representation where somebody is responsible for looking at the whole county, which I think all the councilmen should be, but it's not the way it turns out.
No, and that's what's been disheartening to me the last several years. When I got on council, I think for the most part, all the council members just wanted to do what's best for the county as a whole. I've seen a lot more of the territorial attitudes, and that's not the way to run a county. We're not the state of New Jersey or Connecticut or whatever. We're a county. What if helps out one part of the county, helps out all the county. Just like the Panther situation, everybody will benefit from that. So that's been a little bit of a concern of mine. Having the chairman elected at large, that may be an option, but when I was chairman, I always looked out for the whole county. So that's not necessarily the best fix. You're still going to have other council members that have to be in on that attitude of just looking out for the whole county.
Right.
So, and then the numbers, who knows if the numbers show we might need two more council members. We'll know in June 2020, I guess, how the census goes.
And that might be the time to fix what we're talking about.
We'll be
here
looking at redrawing our boundaries for each council member.
Now, if you did change the system, so you had, let's say, a couple of at-large districts, at-large representatives. Is that something you all do, or is that something the state has to approve?
I believe the state has to decide that. So,
but you'd have to request it, my guess would be.
I think it would be better if we requested it. Sometimes the state just tells us how it's going to be done, and we say, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All right. We're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments of Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at andersongriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Of course, we do this every day at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week, right before your eyes. And anybody who knows anything about what goes on here at Substation 2 will tell you how it's done. It's in the big white letters here, and the doc and I are going to do it all by ourselves.
because we don't want anybody else to know.
You're so good at that, Manning.
But let's do it together.
I don't want to mess you up.
Okay, ready? One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, 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 garden. Yeah, they're a little late back there. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
The food, the number 19 is the best.
When I want lunch, I come to Substation 2 because I can't remember never not coming here.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Does your business need to operate more efficiently? Whether you're uploading or sharing large data files, using web-based applications, or streaming high-definition video, businesses demand more bandwidth. Comporium's Business Class Internet with speeds up to 1 gig and dedicated Ethernet options can meet any of these needs. Keep your business growing and growing efficiently. Call Comporium Business Services and learn more about Business Class Internet options or go online to Comporium.com.
Now available from Founders Federal Credit Union, Edge Up. Edge Up is the newest and easiest way to fund Founders Loyalty Select, our highest yield savings account. Enroll in Edge Up today, and any purchases made with your Founders debit card may qualify for daily Edge Up transfers. Log into Founders online to enroll today. Relax, we're giving you an edge on your savings. Account restrictions apply, federally insured by NCUA.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration. When you are faced with damage to your home, there is only one company you need to know, Paul Davis Restoration. Only one company with 50 years of corporate support and 20 years of local presence. Only one company with 8 trained and certified water mitigation techs on call and ready to respond to your loss 24/7, 365. There is only one company you need to know. Call Paul Davis Restoration, 803-329-1140.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Good Pharmacy, building trust for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. Enjoy our spacious new modern look and take advantage of Rock Hill's original drive-thru with pickup and drop-off service.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
The hot meatball subs with jalapenos.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
You're listening to Straight Talk right now, pre-recorded earlier today to be replayed at this time.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Dr. Britt Blackwell is with us. He is an esteemed member of the York County Council. With us today, and we appreciate him sliding in for our scheduled guests who got under the weather. The biggest topic that I guess York County may have ever had, well, maybe not. I mean, Pennies for Progress is a pretty big deal. But it was a big, big deal. But this one is a giant. This, of course, is the Carolina Panthers, who made it very clear a year ago they wanted to come down and locate here in York County. Everybody has been working feverishly to kind of pull this together. The Panthers have done their due diligence. The city's been doing theirs. And the county has been doing theirs. But where in the heck are we on this thing? Because apparently you are the county. You are the last straw that needs to be taken care of with this.
Well, first I want to thank Mr. Tepper for giving York County this opportunity, because it's a fantastic opportunity. There's probably... what, 23, 26?
32 teams.
32 teams, yeah. And a lot of them don't have anything close to what he proposes. In fact, this will be supposedly nicer than the Dallas one in the suburbs,
right,
or the Pittsburgh one. So it'll be the best in the world right now, the plan, for this kind of structure. But I would have hoped this would have been wrapped up in a nice package back in the fall, but it didn't work out that way. So fortunately, we have our finance director now talking directly to the Panthers instead of just three separate silos talking over each other.
Right.
So we all kind of understand each other now, and hopefully we're about to finalize everything. And if we don't vote on it the second meeting in February, certainly I would think by the first meeting in March that we're going to try to wrap this up. And I'm hoping that if it's not unanimous, I'm hoping a large majority of our majority of council members are all in on this, because it'll just do so much for York County.
People who are not intimately up to speed with this thing are probably scratching their heads saying, why wouldn't this be unanimous? I mean, what? Where's the losing end of this deal?
There's not. I mean, right now, as far as saying you look out for the taxpayer, well, that land probably nets us about $500-$600 a year.
$660.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, when this gets going, and this is Mr. Tepper, this is not just a football field. He wants to build a development. Otherwise, he wouldn't need the infrastructure that's going to be required, which may be around $200 million, give, you know, somewhere in there, $200, $225. So, it has to have that infrastructure, not for a football field, but for all these corporate offices and all the jobs it's going to bring. So it's just a fantastic opportunity for this county. And I'm all about, I mean, my nickname that I got over the years was the taxpayer watchdog.
Yeah.
And nobody looks more stringently at line items, but I don't see any flaws in this, especially with the recommendations that our finance director's coming up with, just to make sure it's the best deal for the Panthers and it's a good deal for the taxpayers in the city and the county.
So you pinpointed the issue that continues to be under discussion. The infrastructure tab is whatever it is, $225, $250 million. It's a lot. It's big money. And that is going to be paid back. I mean, there'll be a bond that will be floated to pay for that.
Right.
And then to pay it back, it would be basically the tax revenues that would be coming in to the county, to the city, school district, et cetera. And the Panthers are going to be kicking something into this pot.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're building the structures. Yeah. They're building the facilities and stuff. If, you know, if it works to in 10 years they're at $1 billion, we're already in the black. So we'll be taking in, I don't want to throw numbers out because I could be totally wrong, but, I mean, it would probably be in the millions as far as county tax. So, I mean, no, we don't get it all to begin with because we have to put it on infrastructure. But I tell you what, a little bit of something's a whole lot better than a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, I said to Councilman Winkler the other day, 100% of nothing is nothing.
Yeah.
If you had 5% of something, you got something, right?
Yeah, so I don't want this to be just, you know, just so overly analyzed that it just loses common sense.
So what the county is trying to do, I guess, is to put provisions in the agreement that if the anticipated $1 billion development mm-hmm. is something less than that and there are not adequate tax revenues to cover the infrastructure, that there'll be what they call clawback provisions so that somebody besides the York County taxpayer is paying for this. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's a general good way to put it. I mean, there's safeguards in there that the council members want to have. You have to believe in something because you can't guarantee something before it's done. Nobody can do that. Wow. You can't guarantee I'm going to have these 10 Fortune 500 corporations come in here before you've even built the infrastructure. So you have to accept the fact some of it's not possible to provide all of these exact figures. So as best that can be done, and that's why I think getting Kevin Madden to sit down with the Panthers so he can see the perspective from the council.
Right.
Plus, he used to be an auditor for cities, counties
sure.
in the state, so he knows how to look at the numbers, so it's going to help the Panthers out. I'm sad that it didn't start until 3 weeks ago when he got involved. But I went ahead and pushed for that. The chairman agreed, yeah, it's a good thing. We talked about it at an RFATS meeting. So that afternoon, I went ahead and set it up for them to get together. And hopefully things are falling into place now.
All right, but if you line up the tea leaves right now, you don't – I guess you're still working on trying to get some more support within the council. Is that correct?
We're always trying to get support.
All right. But as you say, this really should be a 7-0 home run.
It's beyond me how it wouldn't be a unanimous vote. I mean, Kevin Madden is as good as anybody in terms of protecting the taxpayer. So if he's on board, I don't see how any council member can be not on board.
But, in fact, we do have some council members who are not on board with us yet.
Well, I'll say this. I'm not getting the warm and fuzzy feeling by some comments made by some council members, but I'm hoping in the end when everything's finalized that they'll be on board.
Okay. So if all this, you know, if the numbers, if the conversations between Mr. Madden and the Panthers are satisfactory and the working of the numbers, whatever, when would this thing, I mean, I know from previous press conferences and stuff, that the Tepper organization, the Panthers, you know, they wanted to be putting a shovel in the ground this spring. Obviously, they're not going to do it now because there's too much water out in the rain.
Right.
But and they want to get going.
And this drawn-out process may have delayed that 6 months or so. I don't know. They'd have to speak for themselves. But if that's the case, I could see the potential for that. I don't agree with it, but, I mean, it is what it is, how it's drawn out the process. So, hopefully, with Mr. Madden coming up with what he feels is the best option for the county and the taxpayers, that he's proven himself time and time again, that the council members as a whole will be totally on board.
Do you think we'll see this on the agenda this month?
If it's not on the last meeting of February, I would be shocked if it's not on the first meeting of March.
Because I'm sure the Carolina Panthers are pressing you to get this done.
Well, they've been very gentlemanly about it.
Good.
But of course they're like I would be.
Yeah.
You know, this guys, this is ladies and gentlemen, this is drawn out long enough.
Right.
Let's end this.
And do not forget that any business, I don't care who it is, particularly an NFL team, could just pick up their marbles and go somewhere else. That would be embarrassing for your county.
Right. And
would hurt your county.
Well, the logic that I feel certain the practice facility will be here. Maybe, but if we don't come through, they might not do the economic development, which I think is the home run on this, and the jobs that follow with it.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, he's doing all this through his efforts, so we have to work with him on the infrastructure, and I think that's a small price that we have to pay to get something like this to Rock Hill.
Well, you got to remember, he's a very shrewd business guy. He's very affable, but he's very shrewd, and he's got a big stick, and he's going to drive a hard bargain. I got that. But we have an opportunity to win from that bargain. Maybe not as we're used to winning, but this is going to be a big one.
Well, I think they're very reasonable people, and they have their goal. They know what they want to do. But now that Mr. Madden's gotten involved, they have a perspective of why there were some concerns about certain avenues.
Well, Dr. Britt Blackwell, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for jumping in to be on Straight Talk today, and good luck to you, pal.
Thanks, Manny. Appreciate
it. All right,
that
was going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And don't forget, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right before your eyes, and there's a magical way that we do it. And everybody who is in here right now is going to chime in and tell you how it's done.
Oh, there's
at the count of
people.
Here we go. Ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden.
Not bad. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.